Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dark Docs Digest Episode 9 with your host Christian Coffins. Today is December 23rd, 2018. We would like to share a prayer with all of you who risk it all to seek and share truth for the betterment of humanity. This broadcast is brought to you in part by EternalAffairsMedia.com.
Welcome to Dark Docs Digest, Episode 9. This is the second installation of our interview with the lovely Miss Frost. We've been chatting it up off the air, and I guess we're going to pick it up where we left off. There's a lot to talk about, so I think I'll let you go ahead and dive in. What do you want to tackle first?
Well, as I was just saying, I felt a little discombobulated with everything that's going on Twitter right now. I was just messaging a friend of mine from Boston who is what they call a pedo hunter, and she was sharing some screenshots that Craig Sawyer had tweeted in regards to some people that I follow and vice versa on Twitter. And it's not like I know them that well. I just met them like a few days ago. And, there's just a lot of drama going on right now, and it's really confusing. It has everybody confused. And as I was saying to my friend that the other day, I called out Craig Sawyer and Fiona Barnett on Twitter because I'm just sick and tired of them, you know, more so Craig Sawyer, pulling me into all this drama that's going on between them, where Craig is saying Fiona, you know, is a fake and a liar, and then she's saying all this other stuff about, you know, Craig not being legit and all this other stuff. And I'm just, you know, like, I just got pulled into it, and Craig tweeted to me that, you know, I shouldn't believe Fiona, and she's evil, and she's fake, and she's this, and she's that. And then I got unfollowed by Fiona Barnett and Sarah Ruth Ashcraft. And, you know, it's just caused a lot of unnecessary drama. And I did say to both of them, I said, you both have an ego. And, you know, you guys just need to cut it out because it's just really, really, you know, not helping our cause whatsoever. You know, it's one thing if they have a beef or whatever, you know, between the two of them, but to, like, drag me into it or other people, and then try to have people take sides. And, I told both of them, I tweeted it to everybody. I said, I don't play that. You know, I do not want to get involved, and please don't drag me into, you know, all this stuff with you guys, because it has nothing to do with me. And it's not like I know either one of them personally. I've never met them. I've known of Fiona Barnett, you know, for the last couple of years or so. And Craig Sawyer, you know, he's been on Alex Jones, InfoWars, and all that. But, you know, I really don't know him that, you know, and he's been tweeting to me, and he sent me a couple of private messages, you know, dissing Fiona. And then he asked me for help on his Netflix documentary, Contraland, saying that he could not find any credible witnesses to interview for the, you know, SRA. And he said that basically.
Right. And for those of you that are new to all of this, SRA is an abbreviation for Satanic Ritual Abuse.
Yes. Yes. And you know, I've been
researching this stuff for close to a decade now. And when people started saying SRA to me, I'm like, what's that? I had to look it up, you know, because I'm just used to calling it occult ritual abuse, or just ritual abuse, or satanic ritual. I just never thought to abbreviate it. So, you know, just so everyone's clear, when we talk about SRAs, the satanic ritual abuse. But yeah, I mean, the game is divide and conquer with the occult, nihilist. You know, some people think that some of them are Luciferian. I personally believe a lot of them are just nihilists. They just want to watch the world burn. They use any religion or any, you know, rituals or anything more for blackmail in order to get people in their pocket and use them as pawns for whatever they're doing, discredit them. And then if they're not playing by the rules, they'll expose them and things like that.
Yeah.
And it looks like we have a caller. Interesting. We've never had a caller before. Yeah, I've never even given out the number. I think it actually gives it out on the front end. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Kind of curious. All right.
It's going to be crazy.
Welcome to Dark Talks Digest. You are on the air. Anybody there?
Oh, yes. Just calling to listen.
Oh, hey.
Yes, calling to listen.
This is Christian Coffin.
Yes, I was calling to
Dark
listen.
Talks Digest.
Okay.
Oh, you're calling.
Do I press one? Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. You can just listen on the Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, welcome. And so the point here is that, I mean, I've been involved in all kinds of activist groups. I mean, from Food Not Bombs in the 90s to We Are Change, the 9/11 Truth Movement, and all these things, to the Tea Party when it started in South Florida. And it's the same thing over and over again. Once you have an organization, once you have people doing something to expose corruption, you will start to see that you're going to start getting oddballs showing up to your meetups and trolling all of your social media stuff. I mean, this is before social media. We were doing this stuff. This was back before MySpace, a lot of this stuff, where we were on, you know, Craigslist or meetup.com when that first came out, and trying to get these organizations going and things like that. And you'll start getting random people showing up and being like, yeah, that's cool. So you guys want to bomb cop cars? You know, like, what? And it's the same kind of stuff going on again and again. And now here we are. In 2018, trying to expose SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse, and it's all coming out. I mean, if you can look in the mainstream media now, and they're talking about the Clinton investigations, Pizzagate might not be fake news after all, articles are coming out from mainstream media sources, because those Podesta emails have been around forever. The Pizzagate four-part documentary series has, you know, been out for a couple of years now. Dark Ducks has had it on there for over a year for free downloads, and it's credible. You look it up, you look at the WikiLeaks, you look at all this stuff, and you know, it goes way back before that, the Franklin cover-up with Paul Benassi I was telling you about. And we made our comic book about it, about how he was taken from Boys Town, Nebraska, to Las Vegas, where they picked up Hunter S. Thompson, and he filmed snuff films with David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger at the Bohemian Grove, where they cut off the testicles of a child and sacrificed it on an altar, and there was a goat's head and blood coming down the walls. The guy has multiple personalities, can speak and write in Latin backwards in some of these personalities, and some people believe it's a demonic possession. I'm a little skeptical of that, but I mean, there is a lot of hard evidence of, like, back in 88 when he was 13, there was no way he could have had a testimony given to John DeCamp, his lawyer, a very reputable Republican in the Nebraska legislature, who was, the one exposing the Franklin scandal, wrote the Franklin cover-up. There was no way he could take him to the gates of the Bohemian Grove before Google Maps ever existed. He could describe how to get there from the Sacramento airport all the way to the gates of those winding roads that we drove over in this past July, and we're going to drive over again July 14th for the cremation of care at the Bohemian Grove. They have it midsummer, which is usually July 14th, whatever the Saturday is, and resistthegrove.com, which helped us put together our Sacred Owls, They Are Here to Save the World DVD, which has all kinds of footage. They've been out there every year since before 2012. And back then there was huge protests, and Mark Dice and all of them were out there protesting these criminal, pedophile, occult scumbags that are involved in human trafficking. And it's all coming out now. So you're going to see more and more of these people coming out with outrageous claims to discredit it. They're going to tie it to the flat earth movement. They're going to tie it to anything.
Oh,
it's a disc. They're going to say Bigfoot is involved in human trafficking and the Loch Ness monster is involved. I mean, that's the kind of shit. It's going to be like weekly world news because they do that to discredit you. They did it to the 9/11 truth movement, and they're definitely doing it to the SRA movement. And I thank you for your courage, you know, stepping forward. And I really hope we can get you to come out to the Bohemian Grove. We're going to have a huge festival this year, and we're gonna have speakers and bands and all kinds of stuff.
Well, what I was gonna say about where you're talking about the SRA, and like, I personally do not like to call it SRA. I just call it ritualistic abuse. And
sure.
this might take a little bit of a different direction, but I don't know if I mentioned to you that most all of my friends and ex-boyfriends are dead. I don't know if I mentioned that to you.
No, I'm sorry for all your losses.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And this is really messed up. But when, you know, I grew up on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. When I was in high school, I graduated in 1988. So I was, you know, in high school between 84 and 88. And while I was on the Cape, I met two actors' sons that both lived on the Cape. One went to D.Y. Dennis Yarmouth High School. That was Nicholas Curtis. It's Tony Curtis's son and Jamie Lee Curtis's half-brother, you know, actress Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
And I was also friends with actor John Savage's son, Lachlan Youngs, and he went to Cape Cod Academy. So it was kind of a little weird, you know, for me to be, you know, the daughter of Robert Dunham, who's not even as famous as Tony Curtis. And also Anthony Perkins from Psycho, he used to live in Wellfleet. He actually got married at my church. And my dad used to be a deacon there, which is a little weird. And my dad used to have these meetings with Anthony Perkins at Hammett Harbor in Truro. And my dad was a harbor master after he retired from the movie business. He was a harbor master in Truro. And my grandfather had owned a boat marina. So my dad knew like everything about boats. And Anthony Perkins used to come and drive a purple Cadillac, and I even got to meet him once. But Nicholas Curtis died in P-Town of supposedly a seizure after taking a heroin called Ready to Die. It was labeled Ready to Die, and he OD'd. And Nicholas was a friend of mine. I mean, actually, we were at one point going to be dating. At one point, we were like sort of had crushes on each other in high school, and he was a year younger than me. And after he died of an overdose, my other friend, Joshua Rain, R-A-I-N-E, Laven, L-A-V-E-N, was charged with his murder, or like manslaughter. I think it was like second-degree manslaughter. Well, guess what? Josh Laven was murdered in Santa Cruz, California, on Highway 1, and I helped with the investigation. And that was after I told Ben Curtis, who is Nicholas Curtis's brother, his younger brother, Tony Curtis's other son, that Josh Laven and this ex-boyfriend of mine had stolen Nick Curtis's black book, and Nick Curtis hung out in Hollywood, and Josh Laven was originally from Hollywood, and they were both Jewish, and Josh Laven's father was a Jewish jeweler in Los Angeles, and he was murdered in the 70s. It was like a robbery, like a jewelry store heist or something. And he got murdered. He got shot and he was killed. And then Josh was killed on Highway 1 back in May, I think it was 2011. And then a year before, my ex-boyfriend was murdered, which was his best friend. And they were all friends. So now they're all dead. And now another friend that we all used to hang out, they're all dead. Every single one of them are dead. And, you know, it's kind of made me a little nervous. And then, you know, I've been called a black widow. Like, what are you doing to these guys that you're hanging out with? Why are they all dead? You know? And I kind of...
Which is a very insensitive thing to say to you, by the way. I mean, it's pretty damn rude. I'm sorry,
yeah, I mean,
Jeez.
Yeah.
You're hanging
I mean,
out
they
with.
Were like, well, why is it that everyone you're with is dead now? And even, like, one of my children's dad's dead. And yeah. I just chalked it up to the lifestyle, you know? I mean, I was a neo-Nazi skinhead back in the day.
Really?
You know, I hung out with a lot of, yeah. I didn't tell you that? I even have a swastika tattooed on my arm that I had to get removed. I did that when I was, like, 15. Yeah, and
oh,
then
man.
The leader
That's
going to
be
the,
a whole other episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, the leader of the, our little group back in Hyannis on Main Street is in prison for murder, Justin Ward. He murdered Erica Epperson back in 1994, right around
I
the
remember
exact
that case.
Time that
yep.
Nick Curtis died. It was like the same month it was in the newspaper. And I was happened to be on Cape Cod and visiting, like, you know, friends and stuff that summer. And I'm like, holy shit, like, Nick Curtis is dead. And now Justin is getting, you know, he's charged with, I think it was like second-degree murder, and he's in prison for life.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So have
I mean,
your views changed
really,
over the years with all of this? Like, I mean, what got you
yeah.
into that, like, briefly? I mean, it was, I feel like you're ramping up to some sort of, like, I mean, I'm sure that there's
well,
a big story to this.
I ran away from home. That's how I met them. I ran away from home to escape the abuse back in, like, 1985.
Right, so it's just the crowd. It's what was going on already kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, my mother worked at a place called Puritan Clothing, which is a really fancy clothing store on Main Street in Hyannis, and a lot of her customers were famous people, like, you know, the Kennedys and things like that. I mean, the Hyannis, you know, the Kennedy compounds, like, down the street. It's not far from where she worked. And then that's where I met all these skinheads and stuff and skaters and, you know, like, punks and things like that. And I started off, you know, being a punk. I had a mohawk and, you know, sporting back in the day and all that. And then I just met these skinheads and I just started hanging out with them, and then, I don't know, I just slowly, well, actually, I ended up cutting my hair because I got bullied in school, and I had told everyone I was sexually molested, and I told all my friends, and then they dumped me as a friend and called me a liar, and so they didn't believe me, and then I chopped off all my hair, and I started, like, you know, rebelling and, like, hanging out with these skinheads and stuff and, like, running away from home, because to me, you know, it was that time in my life where I was just so angry at the world and, like, angry at my parents and angry at everybody, like, you know, like, all this shit's happened to me, and I had told, you know, people in my family, like, that were the non-offending members of the family, and they didn't believe me. They called me a liar. I got locked up in a mental institution to basically shut me up, and then they used me as a scapegoat for all these years. And then back in 2011, my Aunt Pat called me, which is my dad's older sister, to apologize to me to say that, oh, well, you know, I knew about it the whole time, and I'm sorry I didn't, like, help you out back in the day. And I'm like,
yikes.
Seriously? Yeah.
Ugh.
And she's like, you know, now
I'd rather
like
you didn't tell
old.
Me, right? You know, lie to me at this
yeah,
point,
I mean,
you know? I'd rather not
so
know you were
as far
just
as, like, the
screwing me over this whole
abuse,
time.
Like, my parents were very involved with the church. Now, there's this church called
right.
the Church of the Holy Spirit in South Orleans, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod. And now, have you heard of the Camp Good News story with Senator Scott Brown, who was sexually molested in Massachusetts at this Cape Cod camp called Camp Good News?
Yeah, I read what you were talking about. I've never heard of that one before.
Yeah, and then when he outed his abuser, the abuser killed himself, like, right after, which was very, you know, weird. And
well,
I think
you for
he
your
killed
service,
himself
yeah.
at camp. Good news. Yeah.
Good.
And then
that is good news.
I have been,
very appropriate.
Yeah, it is good news. But Camp Good News was affiliated with my church. And there was a pediatrician who was, like, the board of directors or something like that. She was my pediatrician. And she performed abortions on me against, you know, against my will, because I was only 14 years old when it started. And
oh, geez.
She covered up a lot of stuff for the church, and she knew I was being abused, and I was getting pregnant, and what did she do?
So let me get to the end, sorry to cut you off, but you wanted to keep the children, and then, like, they were forcing you to have these abortions against your will, or?
No, it wasn't that.
You're saying just because you were underage, you couldn't really consent to such a thing in the first place?
Yeah, especially back, gotcha. You know, in 14, I was not, it was 1984. So when I was being abused, initially I was abused by my brother for 4 years every single day. He groomed me. He was a much older half-brother from my dad's second marriage. And then it was very strange because, now, didn't I talk to you about the guy with the no fingernails that my dad rented this house from in Truro? And the guy was a child pornographer. And we were renting a cottage in Truro right next to the Sacred Heart Cemetery off of Route 6. And this guy had a lot of porn in his house, a lot of porn. And we were having to be, you know, renting it because we just moved to Cape from, like, Arizona, where I was, because we went from Tokyo to LAX, and then I was in Anaheim for a short period of time, and then I was in Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona, and then from there we went to JFK in New York, and then I got to meet my aunt and her family because I'd never been to the States before, and I didn't even speak English at the time. And then from there we drove to Cape Cod and then, you know, stayed at this house, this cottage. And this guy was ex-Army, knew my dad from something to do with the military, and he was a college professor at Brown University. He was a very prolific writer. He's written tons of books, but a lot of people don't know who he is because he was born in, like, 1920-something. So his books were popular, like, in the 50s. And this guy was a child pornographer, and he got me involved in all this stuff. And my father and my mother were all in on it. And, you know, I mean, obviously I can't say what they were thinking or, you know, how this all came to be or anything. I don't know any of the answers to those questions. My father sent my brother back to Japan because it was his second wife's kid who was also Japanese. My mom is Japanese. And as soon as he left, then both my parents started molesting me. Like, you know, it was like shortly before I was 10 years old. And my, you know, and as I said, my parents were very involved with the church. And just one day my mom was like, oh, you know, come into our room and we got to talk to you about something. And then I go in there and my mom is, you know, they're naked. Both my parents are naked, but, you know, it was back in like 1979, 1980. I mean, parents back in the day used to walk around naked in front of their kids. I mean, I guess. I mean, that's what my parents did.
I mean, it's having a resurgence, and I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, I'm a father.
Oh,
I have
no,
an 8-year-old.
I wouldn't do that.
And I know a lot of these kind of new agey bohemian parents. They're like, yeah, man, we're new. What's the big deal? You know, it's like, we're not trying to sexualize your kids. And I'm just like, I mean, call me a prude, you know, but I'd rather be safe than sorry, you know. I walked around the house in my boxers, but, you know, I'm not going to walk around the house naked. It's creepy.
Yeah, and my dad was a cross-dresser, but he only did it in front of me. And on top of that, he had a lot of porn. He had his office off to the, you know, in the next room to the bedroom.
Well, I guess that you know of.
And
you
he
know.
Had a lot of porn, tons of porn, but he also wrote for Swank, Cherry, Hustler, The Forum, Playboy, all those magazines. He wrote for them. On top of all,
do you have any of those articles
acting,
or?
I've seen them when I was a kid, and he used to also write for the Saturday Evening Post, but all of it was under Bob Dunham, not Robert Dunham. Yeah, it was under Bob
Dunham.
Yeah,
those little editorials in Penthouse and stuff from Pedos and Hugh Hefner and stuff, very telling. You don't even have to read between the lines. Things are hidden in plain sight in a lot of those editorials and stuff from the 70s and 80s.
Yep, and then my dad wrote 3 books, and I reread one of them like 3 years ago. It was called Tokyo Unzipped. You can buy it on Amazon under Bob Dunham. And I read it, and in the book, my dad says that it's okay for fathers to have sex with their daughters. Like, it said it in the book. I was so, like, disgusted that I threw up.
Wow.
And I actually tore the book apart and threw it in the garbage. Like, I was so, like, I mean, it's one thing to, be abused, but then to read that he said it was okay. You know what I mean? Like, it just really freaked me out. Because, you know, when you're abused and you have DID like I do, a lot of things
you know, when you're a kid, when you're abused, like, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what it is. You know, you don't know what sex is. You don't
right.
know why someone's touching
no.
you and telling you to do this, this, and this. I mean, you know, you feel like it's wrong, but you don't know,
right.
like, you feel helpless because, you know, you feel like, oh, this is what I have to do, or, you know, I'm going to get in trouble, or maybe someone's going to find out, and I don't want them to find out what happens, you know, between me and my brother, or me and my father or mother even. And you know, my dad took showers with me until I was 13 years old. He slept in my bed, like, every night, like, slept in my bed. Like, why was he sleeping in my bed, you know? And I thought it was just maybe because, you know, my parents fought a lot, and both my parents cheated on each other, like, all the time. I mean, and they would bring us, you know, us kids into their drama, you know, like, oh, well, your mom slept with so-and-so, and, oh, your dad did this, this, and this, you know, so.
That's so unfair.
It was very, very chaotic. I mean, it was so messed up, and, you know, my mom, after she divorced my dad, you know, she started, like, sleeping with all these guys. She was, like, having me watch her have sex with all these guys. She started, like, grooming me with all this, like, porn, and, like, showing me, like, oh, this is what a guy looks like when he's hard, and this is what you do, and this is how you please men. And, you know, she started mm-hmm. doing that when I was 9, 10 years old, you know, telling me, like, well, this is how you please a man, and you got to touch your father this way. And, you know, and even though it happened with my brother, it was different. I don't know because my brother had, obviously there was something wrong with him, but there was something else wrong with him. Like, he was slow. Like, he had some kind of mental, you know, I don't know if it wasn't like
thing in NAMBLA, the National Man Boy Love Association, and in the whole Pizzagate thing is a hashtag HOTARD. HOTARDs are children that are a little slow. They're retarded. It's easy pickings. They also go after the hearing impaired because it's less likely that they're going to speak out because they don't have, some of them are mute or they don't have as much speech. A lot of times they make it a point not to give them language, you know, so that they could just use their body. It's disgusting. And I mean, this is not fake news. This isn't conspiracy theories. Anybody that calls, I like what you put on, I think your Twitter or your Facebook, where you said that human trafficking is not a conspiracy theory, because, I mean, it's victim shaming. If you call this a conspiracy theory and you haven't been abused, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about, and you should sit down and shut up until you learn, you educate yourself with all of the hard facts, all of the testimony of these children that have gone through this. I have family members that have gone through this, and that I learned about it at a very young age. And I was, you know, kind of barely molested when I was like 17. I was sleeping at one of my boss's house after a late shift.
Oh.
We were, you know, catering a wedding, and then I wake up, a dude's like trying to play with my dick. I kicked him in the face so hard, he's bleeding all over, and I just got the fuck out of there. You know,
oh,
and that's what
wow.
you gotta do. You got to stomp him right away. You got,
you know,
if they're coming after you, you got to kill them, and it's justified. That's
right.
That's
why
I
hung out with those skinheads, because I was always.
That's a whole other thing, because, of course, we're, you know, anti-racist and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
I got juice in the family, but that's
a
whole other thing.
If you find value in these broadcasts, please invest in your education and sanity at Eternal Affairs Media and DarkDocs.com. We hope the information you received was beneficial to your quest for truth and justice. Please visit us online at darkdocs.com to download shows, movies, other podcasts, PDF documents, music, and much more for free. No advertisements, no sign-ups, no terms of use, no censorship, no control. This is information warfare. This is the end of the transmission.
Oh, wow. Looks like we have 23 seconds. Anything you want to close on?
Oh, no. Well, I'm not like a racist or anything. It was just, you know, a way to rebel. And, you know, I actually learned a lot
you know, on how to protect myself, actually. So,
awesome.
You know,
well,
I do agree
we'll get
with
into
you.
That next time. Thank you so much, and this has been Dark
Dogs
Fishing Top and
Thank
signing
you.
Off.